content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
That's your problem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much for tuning in. And again, welcome, welcome, welcome. You can find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and also Anchor FM and iTunes and about 100 other different places. But we are there. Just find us and look for us, and you'll find us. So if you want to amplify your influence with worldwide media exposure and be heard of hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations and be our featured guest, all you have to do is text the word guest to 91096, and you'll receive a link to our guest questionnaire and also get a free copy of our Secrets to Interview Riches. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Everybody loves free, don't they?
Who doesn't love free? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So, cool guest on today, huh?
We have always cool, fun guests.
Yeah, so who's up today?
Today, Catherine Elizabeth Silver. And she's going to talk to us today about simple steps to living an energized and passionate life. She specializes in health coaching, grief counseling, and biological decoding. This is going to be a new one. Catherine Silver is a certified health coach. She has a private practice in Lauderdale-by-the-Sea, Florida, which I love, love, love. And she works collectively with clients on their desires regarding relationships, spirituality, career, physical activity, nutrition, and loss.
All right, let's welcome Catherine to the show.
Jay.
Oh, sorry, don't welcome her yet.
Hold the phone, please. Hold the applause. Hold the applause.
We'll give her another one.
So, of course you will. Suffering through her own loss in 2005, Catherine motivates and empowers others to be leaders and not rely on someone else for their happiness, joy, and well-being. She holds certificates in Reiki, Matrix Energetics, and Grief Counseling. She's the author of Riding the Light Beam, How Any Woman Can Find Her Hero Inside. Applause, applause, please.
Welcome, darling. Welcome. How you doing, Catherine?
Hi, wonderful. How are you today?
Oh, great, great, great to have you on, and thanks for being on here. So, gosh, you got a lot going on there. You know, you got So let's get right into this. I want our audience to get a chance to know you. What happened in 2005 that altered your life?
I was married, and in a nutshell, my husband decided a 20-year-old girlfriend would make him happy after over 30 years together. And I was, needless to say, pretty devastated. I was blindsided. I got a call from our accounts manager, and the accounts manager said, "I'm so sorry." And I said, "Sorry about what?" And she said, "The divorce." And I said, "What divorce?" And she said, "It was in the paper." I said, "What are you talking about?"
Oh, my gosh.
What?
That's heavy.
So how does that happen and you don't know about it? Wouldn't you have had to sign something?
Well, he was in our home in Texas, and I was in Florida with my son, who is had come down here to play tennis at Chris Everett's Tennis Academy. We sent him down for a week, and one thing led to another, and he ended up staying down here and going to school. So I had been going back and forth between Texas and Florida, and he was with my mother-in-law, who decided she liked Florida. We bought a townhouse down here, and so that's kind of the circumstances that it happened. And when I kind of came down here, it was at my husband's suggestion. I said, "Well, you know, military families live about, and corporate things happen, and you know." So I was figuring it was a temporary assignment, and it turned out not to be so temporary. So,
did you spiral into depression?
Believe it or not, I did not.
Good for you.
Interesting story that you would mention depression. I took antidepressants on and off for 20 years.
This is while you were married, right?
While I was married.
Yeah.
And I thought that it had sort of come from my mother. And when I got down here, I ran out and I never refilled them. And all through the toughest thing that I've ever had to do in my life. I never refilled them. And I said, although I never thought I would be in the divorce category, because when I said those words, till death do you part, I meant that. Mm-hmm. And so that process involved several years of me not seeking, not knowing what I was going to do, trying to understand what was happening. And I talk a lot to my clients about rewriting their stories. And that's how we begin to shift things. And so just to let you know how I rewrote my story is I said, well, obviously we hadn't reached the point of, I'm going to say, the shift in consciousness. And the universe said, do anything you want the first half of your life. It doesn't matter. We don't even know if humanity is going to be here. And then when the potentials changed and it became very apparent that we were passing the mile marker of 2012, those potentials, you know, in 2006, the other side said, or my higher self said, all right, we got to get you ready. And so you didn't get this memo, but we've got something more important that you need to do. And you can't do it being married to your ex-husband. And so that is how I rewrote the story. And that's how...
How did you get to that level of consciousness?
I think the first thing is the intention behind it. There was something bigger that I didn't know, I couldn't see, but I felt. Because I had such a strong desire to remain married, and I did everything I could to make that marriage work.
Got it. So basically you said, all right, so if this instead of like going down an ugly rabbit hole of depression, you said, you know what, I'm going to look at this divorce as there's something bigger and greater and better out there just waiting for me. I just have to open the door.
Yeah. Now I will tell you, it wasn't immediate. My first reaction was I have to let him go. And if I really love somebody and they're in this place, I love them. I love them and let them go if that's what it's meant to be.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold that thought. We got to get a quick word from our sponsor. We'll be right back more with Catherine. Hang tight, everybody. Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org. Internationally known eternal life coach, Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the Miracle Working Card A Day Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 Miracle Working Cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. We are with Catherine Silver. So, Catherine, wow, this is some...
So do you think that What or what's your thoughts on us or the universe in general, or even our world? Are we going through a paradigm shift of some sort right now?
Absolutely. The first time ever.
The first time ever in the history of the world?
Since humanity has been on here, yes, absolutely. That's why this is the planet of free choice. We are put here essentially blindfolded, and we as humans can choose to be as dark as we want or as light as we want.
And what exactly do you think is happening? And do you think what is supposed to be happening is actually happening in a good, for fast, in a good way?
Oh, absolutely. I think right now, essentially, what's happening is the closet's being cleaned, that everything that has been happening on the earth has been happening for many, that we'll just say thousands of years, but it's always been hidden, and it is finally coming to the light where it can, once the awareness is there, we can actually do something about it. And that's what the light is actually revealing. So we have all sorts of things happening at, I'm going to say, an invisible layer, but you can tell because people are shifting. It's there's small glimpses.
So how long in terms of years do you think that this shift is taking, whether it's 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years? And then how far into this time period are we into this amount of years that it's taking?
Well, the answer is yes. I don't know how long it's going to take. Humanity sort of has its own time frame, and it really depends upon how fast we move as a consciousness. But the answer is yes. I'm sorry, what was the second part of that?
How many years are we into this new shifting or era? Are we at the beginning, the middle, or the end of it?
I would say we're about like 2/3 of the way through.
Wow.
It really started
with the precession of the equinox. The harmonic concordance, harmonic convergence. Then we had the year 2000, and then we had 2012. There's what's called the precession of the equinox, and that is a 36-year window. 2012 was the center of that mark. And if we step it out, the major part of this transformation, I'm going to say fast tracking, goes to about 2030. I would think that we could call 2022 probably the spin cycle of the washing machine.
Well, you know what I heard someone say, and I thought that this was really kind of cool.
What was that?
2020 is the year for vision. You know how they say you have 2020 vision? Like 2020 is the year that everybody's eyes are going to be more open and aware and a lot more conscious. 2020 vision.
So where are you going with that?
Yeah, what's that?
Where are you going with that one?
You didn't get that?
Yeah, well, I understand the 2020.
Juan, did you get that? Juan,
all right, I'll give April a round of applause.
And what do you expect to come out of this? And what do you expect it'll be like? Or what do you think it'll be like in 10 years from now in 2030?
I think people will be kinder to each other. I think they will see more of a unity consciousness. I think that there will be compassion and more love at every level. And that's what the light will bring. So even if you want to look at the 22 is master builder, and it's a cosmic law. So we have all sorts of really cool stuff happening. I think that's why more and more people are nodding their head, even with the decoding stuff that I'm doing. You know, I used to really get kind of an eye roll, and now people are like, yeah, I think there is sort of a connection. So we're getting small glimpses of the consciousness that's changing, and people are not the same. Yeah.
That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about with you, so little time. So let's get right down into this with you. What is biological decoding, as it is called in the U.S.?
Biological decoding looks at all unresolved emotions and trauma as the triggers of disease and illness. Oftentimes they're stored in the subconscious. Sometimes they are brought forward. Most of your listeners have probably heard the term Merkaba, which is a Hebrew word that means to ride. And the soul actually sees three or four expressions as one experience. So something can happen a number of lifetimes ago and be carried down the, I'm going to say, the lineage from the ancestors. And so we have come to even heal that. So it's a real multidimensional, I'm going to say, from my perspective, profession. And we are looking at what we see in front of us, and we're also looking at other factors that may have been brought in. So yeah, it's actually an amazing thing. I feel like I'm a medical detective. I often get sort of, use the word hits, but I'll be just briefly reading something and all of a sudden I'll write down Vietnam question mark, leg question mark, landmine question mark.
Is that when you're actually with someone, you'll write that down, or is that something arbitrarily? So if you're with a client, or would you write, kind of things happen there?
I have them fill out what's called the biological decoding questionnaire. And sometimes it'll be during that. Sometimes it'll be during my initial email contact with people, and I make them up a folder, and I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden this, and where it comes from, I don't know. I had a girl, I'm working with a girl in Scotland, and she has ALS, and she began to tell me this story, and I'm like, you know, this doesn't even make any sense. And so I read what she sent me 14 pages. And I read it all, and all of a sudden I got sort of an intuition that this was part of a story that started another lifetime ago. And so I actually asked her to rewrite it, and she wrote a story that I would love to see published. I said, you know, you can bring in magic. I want you to be the hero, and I want it to have a happy ending. So I use all sorts of techniques in trying to sort of rewrite, sometimes the hypnosis, sometimes visual journaling, mantras, of course, are part of my thing. And then looking at the unresolved conflict behind the, what I'm going to use the term, message from us to us, that tells us we have this unresolved conflict, otherwise we wouldn't have the dis-ease to begin with.
That leads me into my next question. What's your thoughts on illness and disease? Why do we get it? And what do you think, where is it stemming from?
Well, if we had another lifetime, let's just say that this all weaves together as kind of an entanglement, we were not able to find our voice, that we were not able to express our thoughts. What if we had a life in a monastery? And so this lifetime, we set up our vignette or our lifetime that we end up in a family that's the same way. And so on down the road, we develop a thyroid condition or Hashimoto's, because that's exactly what it is about. It's about finding your voice. It's also, can you speak up for yourself? You know, who makes decisions? Do you put other people first, even denying your own needs? So thyroid is affected when your body's emotional state is out of balance. Oftentimes it has to do with a time of not enough time to do everything or not enough time to get everything done. So, you know, this is when you talk to people, you can feel how they begin when we begin to look at this stuff, and how I begin to sort of trying to empower them. I'm going to bring up cancer, since cancer, it's actually on the decline, but you know, cancer is when we have feelings that are pushed away. They're denied, suppressed. Maybe people become isolated. They have, you know, it goes back to oftentimes a childhood, because as Bruce Lipton says, from the moment of conception till when we are 7 years old, essentially our brain is in the delta state and we are like a sponge, and everything is being recorded and absorbed by the subconscious. So, you know, do these feelings of guilt and shame or unworthiness, you know, come back to that which has been sort of implanted in our childhood? You know, then people say, well, I have trouble expressing my needs. And if I do, I'm afraid of the anger and the passion and the strong emotions behind what I really feel. And so, you know, they hold those back. Heart attacks in my world are about territory loss. And it's very interesting. I have a personal story. My father was going through a divorce and he suffered a minor heart attack. And in court, the judge had given away the house and made him sell his beloved barns and all sorts of stuff. So I have to say, wow, that hit pretty close to home. It doesn't necessarily have to be property. It could be finances. It could be...
You know what? That makes a lot of sense.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be something...
My dad's heart started declining when he lost his ability to drive. They took his license.
He went right down.
And he went right down that slippery slope.
Bad slippery slope.
Yeah.
Hang tight.
Hang tight,
Catherine. We got to take a quick word from our sponsor. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight. Get excellent insight and spiritually motivating teachers with Frank DeVersa, the number one international best-selling author, Spiritually Raw in the 21st Century. Frank DeVersa was an agnostic for 20 years and has been on a spiritual journey ever since incurring a serious illness in 1997. The illness inspired him to renew his faith in God and view spirituality and life in a more enlightened way. Spirituality in the 21st century will expand one's perspective and horizons to cultivate positive human qualities such as tolerance, generosity, and love. To get your copy of Spirituality in the 21st Century by Frank DeVersa, go to www.frankdeversa.org. That's www.frankdeversa.org.
Are you letting self-doubt prevent you from creating the life you really want? Reclaim control of your destiny and connect to the magic of life. Best-selling author and motivational speaker Lisa J. Crawford uses her amazing life story to strengthen, heal, and motivate others. From her silent screams to self-empowerment to advocate for victims of sexual abuse, Lisa Crawford takes you on an inspiring journey to overcome obstacles and feel empowered to reach your full potential and discover self-love. The greatest moment is realizing that once you are committed, there is no turning back. Connect with Lisa J. Crawford today. Go to lisajcrawford.com.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much. Catherine, I know before we had a break, you were going on there. You were having a conversation about what happened to your father, and I want to give you a chance to finish that thought, if you would.
My father.
Your father.
It was April's. Well, you know, if you think about it, men oftentimes have a heart attack within the first 6 months or year of their retirement because they were, you know, that was part of their territory, is their career, and they were very invested in that. But it has, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily do with stuff. It can be that sort of invisible world. I know even when I was involved in the training of this, the instructor was saying one guy had a heart attack when he had to give up cannabis. I don't blame him for that.
I could see that.
What's that?
That would give somebody, I could see how that could give somebody a heart attack.
So, you know, but it can be in all, whatever you feel that is a part of you and your territory, if it's taken away, and you can't sort of rewrite that story, let's go to a place of like non-attachment, or I've got other things that I want to do. When I retire, I want to write a book, I want to travel or whatever, and I'm really happy to move on with my life. But if it's, you know, how some men and probably women too are invested in that career, and that is their life. It isn't just a job, it's their passion.
So does it actually stem from the loss of something that causes the depression? Because it's easy to look at it, you can say, oh, they got depression and they died. But is it really the loss of whatever happened in their life is really the root cause of the illness for the most part?
It's all of these unresolved emotions are triggers. That's why they're slightly different. But I can tell you the bottom line is really about stepping into loving ourselves. And if we can love ourselves, then everything outside of us is just outside of us.
Why is that so much easier said than done? Why do you think so many people have a difficult time with that?
Well, let me ask you, April and Jay, and you may be the exception to the world, but I know that when I grew up, I was not told or complimented about that I was beautiful, that I had my inner beauty and magnificence, that I could do anything I wanted. There was none of that. I don't know. Maybe you guys have.
I am definitely not the exception to that rule. I am the rule. I didn't grow up like that. But ironically, after I graduated is when that all shifted. And I think probably because a lot of it, you know, it became popularized on like Oprah. You know, she started talking about emotions and feelings and Dr. Phil and this one and the other. But prior to that, no, my parents were hardcore Italians. And they came from a rough upbringing. So it got generationally compounded as, you know, the years went on for them, for our parents. Right. So, yeah, I was a product of not.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was let's put it this way. I was a product of the belts and the classic wooden paddle that would hang on the most Italian walls. If you had strict Italian parents, you would see the wooden paddle on the wall. So,
parents beat you.
Well, they didn't beat me, but my dad, in today's world, he'd probably be in jail.
Child abuse.
Yeah, it would be considered child abuse.
Oh man,
my poor father's turning upside down.
And I was like, why the hell are you telling everybody?
Well, because he realized later in life that it was not right. You know, it's just that
it's just that generation, right?
Yeah, they were brought up that way and they were taught that way. And my mother used to pull my hair. God, that drove me nuts.
All right, listen. So go ahead, Catherine. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say. So you can see that the underlying. We're going to use the word temperature or flavor of how we're going to say the majority of us were raised was really not in a loving way. I can go back. I'm part of the pineal Dr. Todd Obakaitis pineal tone choir. And in there was a couple lullabies that were given to us through Dr. Todd. And they were lullabies that the Pleiadian mothers sang to their children upon awakening, so they would remember their divine light and their magnificence. And I get chilled as I tell you this, because can you imagine how that would change the world?
Incredibly.
If every child upon awakening was sung to and told how magnificent they were and how much they were loved.
So is that the direction you think the world is evolving to?
What, every kid getting sung to?
Well, not every kid, but more open to it. Parents are being more open to that.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, but you know, how long is that going to take from where we are now? You know, it's probably going to take a while. We'll be there for the final party, but you know, it's not there tomorrow. Look at where everything is. You know, look at how many kids are starving. Look at the kids at the border. Oh my God. Do you know how that's going to create generations of trauma? And these kids and the adults are going to have disease and illness from the trauma that their children, when they grow up and their children's children, do you know how that's going to affect generations of those folks?
That is absolutely out of control. Crazy. So listen, we are bearing down to the end here of the show. Catherine, can you let everybody know, give our audience some final thoughts, if you would, and let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, best place to connect with you, all that good stuff.
Well, the first thing I want to do is I just want to tell everybody to just shut your eyes for a minute and see if you can drop into your heart and feel the divinity and your magnificence on the inside, because this is who we really are. And this is the goal of the decoding, is to unravel sort of those mysteries of why we're feeling the way we are. And all disease and illness is just a sign of us being out of balance. It's an imbalance. And it's only an indicator and a message from us to us. So in my world, as soon as we resolve that, the condition can actually go away, because the pattern has to match. There's a vibrational frequency and a vibrational pattern. And if you don't have that vibrational frequency or pattern, it can't, it's like a puzzle piece. It won't fit.
All right.
And I think that as we get kind of the quantum technology.
Well, they seem to love that one.
So that's what I would say is if someone could just feel that compassion and that magnificence inside of them, that will begin to ship everything. The pure intent is needed, and certainly a verbal yes to heal.
Right on.
Other than that, they can get in touch. I've got a website, www.catherinesilver.com, and I will tell you my name is spelled C-A-T-H-R-I-N-E. There is no E in the middle. So, or they can email me, kathysilverhealth@gmail.com. And I would love to talk to anybody who has questions, and I would love to help anybody unravel their unresolved conflicts and traumas so they can step into health and wellness and shine their light. The world needs everyone to shine their light.
That's really nice. Take her up on that, everybody. That's Catherine Silver. Make sure you definitely take her up. Go to her website, email her any questions. She's already thrown out that she'd answer them. So thank you very much, Catherine, for being on the airways with us. We definitely liked it, right? Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.